segment of the night, final segment of the week here on That 590 Show. The temperatures may be going up, but the prices are going down at Bellman Automotive in Troy, Missouri. Dad's Grass may rule the month of June, but Ryan Kimner and his great sales staff have deals for all. It doesn't matter if you're in the market for a new or used vehicle. Your next one can be found at Bellman Automotive. To supplement their wide inventory, they have financing for everyone and a top-notch service department to help keep your new ride maintained. In the market for a new truck, here's a great offer from Bellman Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram in Troy. Save up to $12,000 off MSRP on a new Ram. That's right, $12,000 off. But that's not all. At Bellman, you also get a grizzly cooler on your choice of a Remington shotgun, a Ruger pistol, or a Savage Axis camo rifle from M&M Guns at no extra charge. So drive home in a new Ram truck and your choice of a rugged grizzly cooler or a gun at no extra charge. Bellman Automotive really can do it all. Give them a call at 636-462-3600, BellmanCDJR.com.
All right, these are some basic rules of hurling. A game or match usually consists of two halves of 25 to 35 minutes. The scimitars, it's the ball, cannot be picked up off the ground directly with the hand. The hurley must be used to roll, jab, lift, or flick the scimitar into the hand. The scimitar can be caught while in the air, bouncing along the ground. The scimitar can be transferred to the hand at most twice. If the scimitar touches the ground, it counts as a reset. The scimitar can be hit with the hurley on the ground or in the air. The scimitar can also be kicked or hand passed using one hand for an entire movement. The scimitar cannot be thrown.
This sounds like something where I'm going to have to just go to YouTube and type in hurling and then just kind of like actually watch the video of it and be like, okay.
Because I just read now that. Now I get it. That made no sense.
Yeah. But I would imagine that if it originated in Ireland, it's going to be a very physical game.
The basic movement of it is if you're hitting fungos for baseball, you got to throw the ball up with one hand, and then using one hand on the bat, you got to hit the ball.
Like
with
you're
it.
Pitching to yourself, pretty.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, if you're you're a dad and you're running fungos for your kid's little league team, and you're just hitting the one hand up and the following through with your strong hand. That's pretty much what you do. Is you. To like score, essentially, they throw the ball up and they hit it with the paddle, and they try to put it through the uprights, and that's one way they score. It's a crazy sport. That's all I know.
I'll tell you what's crazy. What's going on with Enos Kanter?
That's
extraordinarily sad, very scary. My heart breaks for him. His dad has been arrested in Turkey, and he's saying that his father has been arrested because of Enos Kanter's criticism of the current government in Turkey. This is what he say. My father is arrested because of my outspoken criticism of the ruling party. He may get tortured for simply being my family member. For a second, please think and imagine if something like this is happening to an NBA player, what is happening to the people with no voice or podium to speak on? There could be hundreds of thousands of people that are detained, tortured, or murdered that we are not hearing about.
Was it the Turkish bodyguards video that surfaced a few weeks ago where they were just pretty much beating everyone up?
Beating protesters, yes.
Not the first time they've done that.
No.
And they have diplomatic immunity, so I guess nothing can really happen. It's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, Erdogan's a piece of he's a piece of trash. I mean,
the guy is. Enos Kanter's calling him that country's version of Hitler.
There's no reason to say that country's version of. I mean, the man is the next closest thing to Hitler to people like that. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, he staged a coup to take power from the democratically elected, the rest of the Turkish government. He planned the coup. He staged the coup, assassinated and put to death everyone who was involved in the coup that he started just to essentially take power essentially with a military junta. So, I mean, the guy is in every sense of word a dictator, and he's been imprisoning academics, dissenters, political figures, people who are not Turkish who are in the country of Turkey who speak out against him.
Just killing them all.
He hasn't killed a lot of them, but he's been imprisoning them on a wide range. In fact, Erdogan just said that they're going to refuse the release of an American pastor because of comments from the executive branch this week. Literally, they came out and said comments from Trump and other advisors of his made them rethink letting go of this one American prisoner.
At this point, if you're in Turkey and you're not Turkish, get the hell out of that country.
I didn't know it was that bad.
It's pretty much been bad since day one of that fake coup that happened about a year ago. And the crazy thing is that I remember
Turkey used to be an ally.
Well, not only that, I just remember that watching that as it go down, everyone saying like, "Oh my God, this is a coup. This could be really bad." If it succeeds, then everyone slowly realized, "Oh wait, this probably should succeed." And then it very was clearly. I mean, it took the international community a week to figure out. Oh, he planned this. He wanted that coup to happen, and he planned for it to fail. So I mean, it was relatively figured out pretty quickly. I mean, not quick enough that he completely was behind all of it just to give himself these dictatorial powers, essentially.
So this is a total dictatorship now.
There's no check of power or anything. Anybody who was against his taking full power was in some way, shape, or form implicated as part of the coup.
Dead and or missing, probably.
Yeah. Pretty much, and they're taking thousands of teachers, diplomats.
Anybody who's a threat to his power.
Not only that, just anybody who's a threat to their power. And of course, dictators view a threat to their power as anyone who's intelligent enough to fight it successfully. And so, every academic lawyer who hasn't, you know, thrown themselves in his feet and just turned into a sycophant is.
And now
Enes Kanter's dad again is caught up in this all, and I cannot imagine. I can't imagine having millions of dollars and still having no
it's
way.
It's got to be a very helpless feeling.
I mean, and still having no way to stop your dad from being. It's hard to say it, but I mean, the fact of the matter is he's correct. He's a millionaire who has no way of stopping a government from torturing his father. That is one of the most supremely terrible thought processes I've ever contemplated before. Like that could. I mean that is so screwed up.
What's up, Giamatti?
Are any countries trying to do anything about it, or is it kind of just mind your own business type of thing?
Right now, everybody's so concerned about what's going on in Syria, what's going on in North Korea.
Well, and that's the problem is that it's directly connected to that because one of the top groups of people fighting Syria has been Kurdish freedom fighters who are mostly in eastern Turkey. The problem is not Kurdish, sorry, that's the wrong word. I can't remember the exact word. There's a certain ethnic group that's fighting ISIS fairly successfully. One of the most successful operations against ISIS and therefore Syria, because that's all connected in this really convoluted way. The problem is, though, this ethnic group that is pretty much the entirety of this support in Turkey is an ethnic group that Erdogan hates and kind of wants to wipe out. So the one group of people who are doing the most damage to both the Syrian forces that are against America and ISIS, Erdogan wants to just get rid of them because he does not agree with their ethnic backgrounds. So, I mean, so people need to start paying attention because it's not just going to be people in Turkey who are getting screwed over. This is going to throw a blight onto the international stage if this kind of stuff happens, because you can't forget Turkey's freaking huge.
Rock, earlier you mentioned about Jeremy Macklin being released.
Yeah, people are not happy in Kansas City. People are going nuts in Kansas City right now. Oh, my God.
Not happy at all. Other NFL news. I heard you read this during one of your updates during the hard line.
Dennis Pitta.
It sounds like his career is over.
Yeah, I mean, he had
injured his right hip. This is the second straight day that the Baltimore Ravens have had bad news.
Yeah, they lost a depth corner to an ACL.
Yeah,
there.
Tavon Obviously, Young lost a nickelback corner.
Unfortunately,
Dennis
for Pitta, Young,
this is the second time, second or third time.
This is the third time.
He severely injured that hip. He's done.
He took huge hip injuries in 2013. They thought he was going to pack. He took another huge injury in 2014. And the thing is that the back-to-back, the trauma from those two injuries back-to-back knocked him out for all of 2015. So he didn't really return. He didn't return at full health until 2016, last season. And so he pretty much had three straight years knocked out. But he came back last year, and he led the NFL. He led tight ends in the NFL with receptions with 86.
And it's a damn shame, too, because when he's healthy, he's a great tight end.
He's an incredibly good – I mean, he might not be a great blocker, but he is one of the smoother, natural pass-catching tight ends in the NFL when he's out there. He's one of those guys who, despite being 6'6 and 240, you can put him in the slot and have him run routes against a safety, a linebacker, or a quarterback, and no matter what, he's probably going to have a mismatch in some place. So for him to go, to lose the NFL leader in catches for a tight end last season, first of all, it's huge for the offense the Ravens run. Joe Flacco loves his tight ends. But also, you just got a feel for Dennis Pitta. The guy fights back from two huge hip injuries. Again, these injuries were so bad to the point where Pitta pretty much misses all of the 2015 season. Finally returns in the 2016 season, has a great year, breaks out, comes back to what people thought he could have been, and then boom, in OTAs the very next year, he has another one. They fear it's a dislocation, and he's pretty much gone. Yeah, so really quickly, to give you a quick notion here, he played four games in 2013 before ripping his hip up. He played three games in 2014 before ripping his hip up. And again, because it was so torn up from those two, did not play a down in 2015. And now this happens after 86 catches in 730 yards. That's I feel sorry for the guy.
Before Gronk was Gronk, like the two really great tight ends in the AFC were Dennis Pitta and Heath Miller in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Pitta was came at a perfect time in his career. It was always him or Owen Daniels.
Owen Daniels was pretty good.
Who were those random white guys who were having really good seasons as tight ends? You know, Pitta never put up the big numbers. He was the guy who was putting up solid numbers, and you always thought he would do better. But then injuries hit him. You know, his biggest year before last year was only like 60 catches and 700 yards. But he really came in right when everyone started using tight ends as like a third wide receiver, and Pitta was that first big body guy coming out of BYU. He was a lot of fun to watch. And again, thoughts out to him. That's a rough one.
Tough way to go.
But and again, you know, good luck to Jeremy Maclin as he looks for a new team.